Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church he established in Philippi. Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." I'm going to read that verse again. It's a fairly significant verse. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God," so this is the promise part, "if you do those things, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." There's a man who is, I don't believe he's cocky, I believe he is confident in his walk with the Lord. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Church, if that is your prayer this morning, say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority, Lord. Convict us and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing the sermon series we started last week, Hallelujah Living. Hallelujah Living. We talked last week about that word hallelujah, how it's basically a couple of Hebrew words put together, which basically translated means praise the Lord, and how that word is almost universal throughout the world in every language. If you go just about anywhere in the world, they understand the word hallelujah, praise the Lord. Last week we talked about how we as God's people, as His chosen people, we have been created to bring Him praise and glory and honor. That's our purpose in life. If you've ever wondered what's my purpose in life, it's to bring praise and honor and glory to God. Today, we will begin by talking about praise being a choice. Praise is a choice. I want to read a quote to you. You may have run across this quote before I had, but it bears repeating today. It's from Pastor Chuck Swindoll, who is well-known national pastor and author. You may hear him if you ever listen to KGNZ. I think he comes on around 2 p.m. or so, and very gifted speaker, Chuck Swindoll. This is what he has to say. "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, the education, the money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Chuck Swindoll. Man, is that true or what? You know, and I'll say this. I'm going to brag for just a second on our senior adults. I've said it many times. Hopefully you've heard it. I know I say it outside of this church to other people I'm talking about. I really believe that the senior adults make or break a church. I just believe it. You go into a church where the older folks that have been there a long time, the established folks, are bitter, and you got a bitter church. You go into a place where the older folks have this attitude of gratitude, where they're just blessed by God, and they just want to pour out that blessing on others, and you've got a blessed church. And I'm just telling you, we got a blessed church because we have really awesome senior adults. And so can we clap for our senior adults for a second? And Pat, I got to say, I wasn't planning on doing this, but Pat Patterson had to be out for quite some time. And Pat, it's so good to have you back. It's really a blessing to have you back with us. But I just tell you, you know, we choose attitude, and praise is a choice. It's a choice. And I hopefully, and we've got some more. If you don't have them at the end of the service, I'll get them to you. But if you were here last week, you got the booklet that has a scripture of praise each day. And we've got more. I'll get them to you at the end of the service. But each day, what I've been doing is each day I have been reading that passage several times during the day, and just try to let that kind of be my prayer of praise to the Lord that day. And I tell you, when just the reading of it and just the conscious thinking of it, that God, you are worthy of my praise, is part of that conscious decision to praise Him. It's a choice, no matter what our circumstances are. And so this whole idea, this concept of hallelujah living, to have a life that exudes praising the Lord. If you've heard me use this term before, you ever met any joy suckers? I mean, they walk in a room and the joy just goes, it's gone. The joy is just literally sucked out of the room when they walk in. And we're all sitting there going, yeah, I know. You know, so my question I always ask is, are we a joy sucker? If we don't know any, we're probably it. I mean, it may be you. It may be me. But there are people that when they walk in a room, they suck the joy right out of the room. And there's also people that when they walk in the room, joy fills the room. You know both, don't you? To have a life where it's this hallelujah living, where everything we do, regardless of our circumstances, we choose to praise God. That's what I want to talk about this morning. So the first thing is, as we talk about this, is hallelujah living means praise is a choice, and that's what we're talking about. But I want to tie it into this scripture we're looking at today. He says, Apostle Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we see what he's doing. He's saying, fill your mind with praise. Fill your mind with good things. I'm going to tell you, when back in my computer days, when I started in the computer world, I was a COBOL programmer. And nobody knows what that is, but it's old school, okay? It's back in the 80s, we punched our programs on cards. Nowadays, it's all, you know, it's all electronic and everything, but we punched them on cards, and you had this big stack of cards, and you put it in this hopper, and it could feed down the program and the data and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm really old. But anyway, we had cards, and if you dropped the cards, you were in trouble, and you'd try to sort back through them, get them lined up back and everything. If you put them in, and then we used to have a saying, garbage in, garbage out. You write a bad program, you're going to have bad results. And that's, if we put junk in our mind, guess what we're going to live out? Junk. So if we put junk in, junk's going to come out. If we put God, if we're constantly in this mode of praising God and taking in, pressing into God, then guess what? Most of the time, God is going to flow out of our lives. And that's what Paul is saying here. If it's true, if it's noble, if it's right, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things and see if that doesn't impact your life. How are we doing, church? Are those the things we think on? Or do we think about, woe is me? Woe is me. You know, well, are we living out this old country song? Whatever the country, you know, nothing. I like country music, but I mean, you know how country song, it's always like I kicked my dog and my dog got run over by the pickup truck, and you know, and then I had a flat on the side of the road, and then my mama spanked me or whatever. You know, you just it's this old woe is me. Are we living out of this old woe is me country song? Are we thinking about those things? Paul's saying, think about those things. He doesn't say whatever frustrates you, whatever makes you angry, whatever is harmful and sinful, think about those things. That's not what he's saying. Because when we think about those things, that's what flows out. In 2 Corinthians, Paul again, he's writing to the church in Corinth, he says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. When you begin to think about someone who has hurt you, or all the bad things going on in your life, or all of the things that are making you down and depressed, take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. How do we make them obedient to Christ? You begin to praise God for who He is and what He has done for us. Did you know that Jesus hung on a cross whether you be able to pay your rent this month or not? He hung on a cross for you, whether you've got a lot of money in the bank account or whether you've gotten little. If your marriage is good, He hung on a cross for you. If your marriage is struggling, He hung on a cross for you. Did you know that? So whatever our circumstances are, God is the same. And He has proven His love for us. Praise is a choice. Now, when our girls were little, I don't know, y'all's kids probably never did this, but they used to whine. It's like, I wanted some Kool-Aid. I wanted the grape Kool-Aid. You know, those kind of things. Y'all's kids probably never did that. And we had this term we used to call them it was more than a couple of years ago. But when they were little bitty, when they started whining, we'd say, don't be a whiny hiney. I'm not sure you can say that from the pulpit, but I just did. But don't be a whiny hiney. You know, we'll get grape Kool-Aid next time. Today you're going to have strawberry. You know? And so, are we whiny hinies? Are we praising God? Are we taking every thought? Have you ever thought about that in context with our walk with the Lord? Do we whine about stuff? Are we praising God in the midst of whatever our circumstances are? Praise is a choice. Second thing, hallelujah living means that praise is learned. Praise is learned. Listen to Paul in verse 11. He says, I have learned. I want that word to soak in for just a second. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. And then he goes on to say a second time, I have learned the secret of being content in any ever circumstance, in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. So there's this process, Paul is saying, that there's something that's happened in him through his life, and he's learned to be content no matter what the circumstances. Well, let's take a look at Paul's life. How has he learned? Paul had a pretty rough life. He was beaten and tortured and imprisoned, deserted by people in the ministry that he was with, he had churches that he had gone and poured his life into, and then he would leave and go to another church, and then he'd hear news how this church had abandoned the faith and how they were struggling, and he was beaten to the point where they thought he was dead and just left on the side of the road. I mean, this guy didn't have an easy life. If anybody had an opportunity and a reason to be a whiny hiney, it was the Apostle Paul. But instead, he said, I have learned to be content. I have learned the secret of being content. He learned these things through trials. He learned them through the trials. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what he has to say about all this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, Peter praising God. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he's praising God with the resurrection, the cross, and the resurrection as the backdrop. Okay? And into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now listen to what he says in verse 7. These have come, the trials have come, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise. The trials come, strengthens our faith, that our faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So Paul is saying the same thing. I mean, Peter is saying the same thing that Paul was. He's saying that we praise God because we have this backdrop of the cross and the empty tomb. That cover, it's like this big umbrella that's over everything, every circumstance that we face. This big arch over all of it is Jesus hung on a cross for us, and he's overcome the grave. And because of that, we have hope. And so because of all of that, then he says, because of that, we can endure these trials, and all it's going to do is strengthen our faith and bring praise and honor and glory to God. That's it. Praise is a choice. And not only is it a choice, but it's learned through trial. Lastly, hallelujah living means that not only is praise a choice and learned, but praise is essential. For the believer, I want to tell you something. If we are a spiritual whiny-hiney, we bring no glory to God, and we will draw no one to Jesus. I mean, if all we do is walk around, it's like, I find myself sometimes will say, how's your day going? And first I may, man, I've been working on my kid's house, and I can hardly bend my knee, you know, and it's not a real, maybe a serious whine, but it's whining. And the first thing out of my mouth would be say, man, I'm good. Jesus died for me. And so it's all good. From here on out, it's all good. Praise is essential for the believer. Listen to what Paul says, the very first verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He doesn't say, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's essential for the believer to praise God. I think we might even could change that word from essential to required. Perhaps even stronger word, required. I just don't know that we can be a Christian and mope around all the time. Now, with kind of a disclaimer here, I want you to understand. I understand life is tough, okay? I understand we have trials, and I also understand that sometimes we go through the desert sometimes, and we find ourselves depressed and so on and so forth. I just want to offer you a suggestion of that. And again, I know there's medical reasons for some of that. And if it's medical, I mean, that's a different issue and you can take that up with a physician. But most of the time we're moping around. I believe it's a spiritual thing more than a physical thing most of the time. And I want to invite you to, and just take this scripture today on our 40 days of praise. I pulled this one for today. Our scripture today is Psalms 8:1. I read it a little while earlier in the prayer time, but I want to read the first verse to you. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And I just to read that 10 times and let it begin to be your prayer, not something on a page, but to let it become your prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And just to kind of take that a little bit deeper, that he repeats, O Lord, our Lord. And what that is, the first one is the word that's translated is he's talking about the God of Israel, this big God, the God of his people out there. That's the first one. The second one, our Lord, is the more personal, the more intimate God that wants personal intimacy and relationship with you. So our Lord, this big God that's all of our Lord, and our Lord more personal. How majestic is your name in all the earth. And he goes on that Psalms 8 has 9 verses in it. He closes out with the 9th verse is exactly like he started. They call it like a sandwich scripture is what I was taught. He's trying to emphasize that verse because he starts the psalm with it and he ends the psalm with it. And everything in between is more or less trying to make sense of that verse that's repeated. Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he goes on in that Psalm 8 to talk about how, man, you're the God who's created all these heavens and earth, and you've breathed life into me, and you've given me dominion over all the things of the earth that you've created. Did you know, by the way, that go back to the Genesis story, when God was creating, every time he created and did something incredible, he said, it's good. Second day, it's good. Third day, it's good. He gets to mankind, man and woman, and what does he say? It's very good. Did you know that he thinks more of us than he does the stars in the sky? The fact that he was able to separate the land and the sea? That all the creation of the earth, all the animals and wildlife and life in the seas and the oceans and all, did you know that he sees man above all of that? He sees us above the heavens. He says, it's very good. And then it goes on in this passage to say, who are you, God? Who are we that you are even mindful of us? Why, you know, you're God, and you have every right to just flick us away. But instead, you're mindful of us, and you've hung on a cross. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I want to invite Mike. Where are you at, Mike? If you did not get a 40 Days of Praise booklet last week, or if you want another one, if you want to share it with somebody, that's okay. I've got someone incognito last week that stole about, 50 of them. That's okay, as long as they go to Good Youth. I won't mention your name, Lori. But it's only 6? Okay, that's all right. If you just want to raise your hand, and they'll bring you one of these booklets. Church, I'm inviting us, and I believe that the Lord has. Every once in a while, it seems like what God is leading us to, it strikes a chord in us, and I believe this is one of those moments. These next 40 days, to put our eyes on Jesus and praise Him. Praise is a choice, and it goes beyond our circumstances. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in, these next 40 days, starting last Wednesday, it takes us all the way through Easter. Whatever your circumstances that you find yourself in these next 40 days, praise the God. Praise God. Make a deliberate, intentional decision to praise Him. If you keep your hand up, they'll get around to you. There's plenty. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Praise is a choice. Let's choose to praise Him. Let's pray. Keep your hand up and they'll come to you. Father, we thank you that you alone are worthy to be praised. Father, too many times, and we confess this, too many times in our culture, it's an athlete or an actor or a singer that receives our praise. Or maybe our favorite sports team or whatever. But Father, you alone, we confess it right now, you alone are worthy of our praise. Nobody else hung on a cross for us. Father, teach us like you taught Paul and like you taught Peter. Teach us to be content in any and every circumstance. Teach us to praise you We praise you. It's different, Father, than thanks. We thank you for the provision that you give us, the relationships that we have, and our homes and our food and our cars and all that stuff. We thank you for that, but we praise you just because you're God. Just because you're God and just because you're worthy. Father, help us to put good stuff in our minds. Help our lives to bear fruit to your glory. Help us to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. May we put pure things in our minds. May we put true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy things in our mind. And may we bear fruit. In the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can't praise God unless you know God. You can't understand what Jesus has done for you unless you get what Jesus has done for you. And I just want to tell you that the peace that comes in our life is not by going to church. It's not by being good. It's not by being obedient and reading the Bible, 10 times a day. Those are all good things, but those are not the things that bring us into an intimacy with God. It's understanding that this Savior loves you. And if you don't understand that this morning, if you want to understand, if you want to receive Christ in your heart this morning, I invite you to come and visit with me as we sing this closing song. So come, stand as we close.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Thank you.
Did not tell us to praise the circumstances. It's okay to have the bad circumstances and to understand that those are real and significant. What he's saying is to praise him in spite of the circumstances, in the midst of the circumstances. So I challenge you today to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Shout to the Lord.